just witnessed the beginning of the apocalypse. Thank you, sir. But I'm actually originally from Australia, and it's good to be up in here about 10 years, and I've been here for the summer. The summer has been fucking brilliant this year, here in London. 2 weeks of fucking sun, and I'm not being patronising, it's fucking excellent. And, it is, because actually you have a better summer than Australia, because it's actually bearable. You know, in fucking Australia, it's hot as fucking shit, you understand? For months at a time, and then Europeans go, how come the Aboriginals didn't build anything? Because it's hot as fucking shit. Do you understand? You want to build a castle? Fuck that. I'm going to the beach. What are you fucking talking about? I used to live in Manchester, which I like a lot. I don't know if anyone's from north up here. And it's cool up there. I like it. Sorry, darling. Birmingham. Well, it's Midlands. Midlands. We're talking fucking north, mate. Manchester. And I lived in the, right in the city there, and, right in the Canal Street, which is the gay part of Manchester. It's a very openly gay scene up in Manchester. It's very cool. But this fella, it's quite a strange thing. This fella in Manchester, he came up to me one day and he goes, you know, if you wear an earring in your right ear, which I do, he said, in England, that means you're gay. It does. It's fucking weird. It does. Well, it's weird, mate. See, in Australia, it's when you got your cock in another man's ass. You got a lot of catching up to do. And I'll admit I've got some homophobic friends. No, none of us are supposed to be like that anymore because of the age of political correctness, which is actually intellectual colonialism and psychological fascism for the creation of thought crime. But I've got some homophobic friends, and they're very funny, and a lot of people go, what, they're homophobic? Well, they shouldn't be. Well, they are. They should stop it. Well, they're not. Well, they should. Well, you go and tell them. I mean, they're not mental cases, my mates. They don't hit gay men. They're not waiting in the woods with a crossbow. They're not fucking insane, right? They just don't like it, and that's the fucking deal. And they're very funny, mate. One of my mates especially, he's my age and he still can't deal with it. He's tried, but I saw him about a month ago and he's still freaking out. I don't like him, mate. I don't like him. I'm going, who? He goes, the poofters, mate. The gays, mate. I don't like him. I said, why not, mate? He goes, I'll tell you why not. Because they're not real men. And they're not tough. They're not tough. Huh? They fuck men. That's hardly gay. What a straight men want. Ooh, I want a woman. Soft. Feminine. What do you want, Dave? I want to fuck a bloke. What a big, strong bloke to fuck me in the ass. Is that a bit tough for you and your pussy-loving mates? Is it? And fuck you, because we want cock, son. Cock! Yeah, you go and play with your girly tits, you fucking gay lord. Go on. Straight! It's the new gay. Oh, which it is. I know it is. We live in the corporate age where everyone have no men are left. I've seen young straight fellas wandering around these days. You've seen them. You know them, don't you? The ones with their little pre-ripped jeans and their Tony and Guy haircuts. They're thinking they understand women because they bought a belt. Have you seen them? You know who I'm talking about. And women know who I'm talking about. They come up to them all the time. Hi, how are you there? Fuck it. Pull your trousers up, you stupid prick. Now, thank you. It's not just me developing hate in the street. You'll suck and see your underwear, you fuckwit. don't hate them, really. I don't hate them. They're just fucking guys, and they've been stripped of their testicles because of the corporate entity. And I see them in the gym, the poor little bastards. I do feel sorry for them because they're in there, you know, and they're way working out, but then they're in the dressing rooms, and it takes them months to get out of there because they're all gelled up and shaved up and moisturised. Which is a good thing, maybe, because, you know, if I was going to fuck a guy, that's how I'd want him. So... Well, you know, some fat, hairy mutant hanging over you. Come on! Ooh. You don't want that. You want some crisp, minty chap, don't you? Smooth and tight like a lozenge.
Have a good enough. Thank you.
Nice being on the TV, but you I don't know if you know this about TV, but it puts a lot of weight on. It puts about 3.5 stone on you. And because I am getting a bit fat, but I've tried to sort it out. I went to the gym about 6 months ago, and I... that's all it takes to get cheering. Oh, fucking... And I laid down on the mat to do some sit-ups, and I woke up 2 hours later. I felt fantastic. I went and got a frothy coffee and a chunky Kit Kat. I was buzzing for the rest of the day. So, it's very... I'm not a big fan of travelling. I like to go to America. That's one of the few places I'm happy to go to. My accent causes a few problems when I go to America. I first went there in 1981. My accent caused a few problems. In New York, where I ended up, they call their ass. Where I come from, we call our house our ass. So, I took a girl out for the evening, right? And we had an amazing time. Of course we did. I'm a very interesting man, right? I am. I'm not just a stunner. And I stopped her on the way home and I looked at her and I said, listen, when we get back, what are the chances of me coming in your ass? Now, this was 1981. It wasn't as popular back then. I know you kids are pushing on with the anal now. Very taboo in the 80s, very taboo. She said, oh, my God, you want to come in my ass? I said, look, don't worry, I won't try and kiss you. Just want to come in your ass. Won't make a mess. Feel it out before you know it. So much has changed in the area of sexuality and sex. Everything has changed. I mean, the vagina has changed. It was a big hairy beast in the 80s. Big hairy, militant, Marxist, feminist vagina. It was angry. Oh, it was angry, the vagina in the 80s. It had a terrible attitude. I mean, the knickers weren't small and it was still busting out the side. Big, angry vagina. You used to just roll the knickers down and it would come out. You fucking looking at, eh? Stare at me, I'm a vagina. A bit of respect here. Teenagers don't understand what's happening. They've lost the plot. Teenage pregnancies are through the roof. Through the roof in the UK. I was at a dinner party the other night. I said to these very nice people, I said, listen, the reason teenage pregnancies are through the roof in the UK, during the last 20 years or so, fingering has disappeared. Now, I know it's controversial, and I know there are people in this room at this moment thinking, what's he talking about? They're going to have to Google it when they get home or something. But anyone here with any sense of history and what we've lost in the UK will understand that the demise of fingering has caused chaos. Because it was about a good old-fashioned thing called deferred gratification. Taking your time. You didn't get to finger a girl for a long time. You had to tit her up for about a year. Had to tit her up around the flats, babysitting, over the park, wherever you... titted her up, and then one night you bought Wimpy and Chips and it would start. But you'd often lose her at that stage. She'd run off with some dickhead who's got a moped on a provisional or something. You lose her. 20 years later, you're at the wedding of an old friend and she comes in, a woman, sophisticated, grown up. She comes over and she says, hi! Hi, how's it going? How's it going? She says, I'm in marketing. I've got a little place by the river. And you're thinking, I fingered you. Because you've grown up as well. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, you've been absolutely lovely. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you very much. What a lovely, love response. It's the festival season, having a great time. But a couple of weeks ago, a friend of mine asked me to go to Glastonbury. You know Glastonbury? Anybody here go to Glastonbury? Yeah, some of the young people, the older ones, what? A tent on the ground, fuck that. I don't even caravan. I went to Glastonbury with my best friend, right? And I didn't go there for the music, no. I went there for the dirty stuff. And I don't mean cigarette, yeah? I was with my best friend, right, having a great time, but he was tripping, yeah? But not the light fantastic. I was in my tent, 6:30 in the morning, quiet, mellow, about to fall asleep. There's a bang on the tent. I open the tent. My friend is there, and he's doing this. He says this. Steve, am I inside or outside? In my head, I saw an episode of Quantum Leap about to start. But being a good friend, I invited him to my tent. He sat on my sleeping bag. He did this. He said this, Steve, is this a coffin? Being a good friend, I said yes. He looked me in the eye, said, Steve, am I dead? I said, the name's God. Till this day, he brings me gold, frankincense, bling, bling. That's right, folks. That's not Argos. No, man. I've got money. Touch me, touch me, touch me. Not really. But please, please let me explain. There are very many similarities between myself and the Lord. Oh, yes, there are. Jesus wore robes and sandals. At home, I too wear robes and sandals. Jesus was often persecuted. I have often been prosecuted. And on the odd occasion, Jesus was stoned. But I do love travelling. I travel particularly all around the UK doing gigs, etc. And a few weeks ago, into Cornwall. Oh, it was brilliant, right? I got a very special, traditional Cornish welcome. Right, well, I think it was. Although I don't know what it means when a whole of the village sit on a hill and wave pitchforks at you. Is that the same? Yeah, is that the same? No, honestly, I had a great time, a wonderful time in Cornwall, right? They gave me a massive award, right? Because I was the fourth black man to ever visit there. Yeah. And the second to get out alive. I also went to Torquay. Have you heard of Torquay? Oh, no, I say what I see. Bloody hell. This year, I went to Torquay, and on the seafront, get this, folks, you can go into a shop and you could buy a gollywog. That's right, I said it, a gollywog. I went in that shop, I bought the lot, and I set those fuckers free. Run, my children. Can I tell you this little story, right? Okay, when I was 18, I fell in love, right, for the first time, and it was with a girl. Yeah, I know. Who could believe it? How times change. And she had a really liberal family, you know, one of those weird parents who let us share a room. And I thought, wow, this is exciting. I had plans that night, right? And then suddenly, from her parents' room next door, all you could hear was, "Badoof, badoof, badoof, doof, doof." And it wasn't the radio. No. And it wasn't a quickie, I tell you, right? Bloody hell. It was such a marathon, right? By the time they finished, I went out for a cigarette. I've got to tell you, folks, that relationship ended in disaster. I'll tell you why. This, I think you'll like the story. We're driving on the motorway late at night, and she was desperate to go to the loo, right? But there's no little chef, there's nothing there, right? So I had to pull over to the hard shoulder, and then she ran out, right? And looked at her face, oh, her face, the pure pleasure and ecstasy as she backed away. Oh, about to relieve herself. That face will live with me forever. Because the next thing I saw, right, she disappeared. Her legs went flying up as she rolled over backwards. Yeah. Gosh. And she unleashed what I can only describe as a urinary Catherine wheel. What did I just piss myself? And I kid you not, 1 minute later, she crawls back onto the verge on all fours, soaking wet, with all these twigs and bits of, what, shit in her hair. Because you wouldn't shit yourself. She looked like Lady Gaga. But you know what, folks? She swore me to secrecy. But then she also swore that she'd be with me forever. So, Sarah Jones of Croydon, who's laughing now? Good night. Thank you very much.
Thanks very much. Oh, what a nice welcome. I hate the sort of aggression that there is in stand-up comedy. You know, we've all seen comedians, "Where are you from, sir?" "Birmingham." "Birmingham." "Oh, I fucked your mum." All this kind of thing, right? It's, ugly sort of atmosphere. Anyway, I suppose I should be more polite than this as a rule. I'm a dad, you know. I've got a baby. Thank you. That is one of the best things about it as well. It, almost just by mentioning it, you pretty much guaranteed a round of applause. Not just in comedy, in life. People are always saying, "You've got a baby." "Oh, congratulations, well done." "Just for fucking your wife." Absolutely amazing. You know, says, well, I don't like the word hero. You know, I was going to do it anyway, but still, thank you. And, yeah, it does... it's an alarming thought to think, you know, I'm going to have to set an example to a baby. And also, I'm a dad. A dad is like a different species of person. Suddenly, I've started... I'm 30. I've started behaving almost overnight like a dad. I've started making dad noises, like picking things up and going, "Hup," for example. And it's only... It doesn't correspond to anything. It's just a dad noise. Recently, I caught myself getting into a hot bath and sort of going, "Ay, ay, ay." That's not a genuine noise. That's not, I imagine soon I'll reach the threshold when you're about 40, there's men of about 40, 45, stop sneezing and just start shouting instead of a sneeze. The phlegm element is removed from sneezing and it just becomes a series of terrifying yells. My father-in-law, my wife's dad, I shouldn't really tell you this, but my wife's dad, when he sneezes, it sounds like he's saying Hiroshima. Because The first time I slept at my then-girlfriend, now-wife's house, you can imagine it's a peculiar thing to hear in the middle of the night, really. Woken up at, like, 2 a.m. by my future father-in-law, as far as I could make out, going, "Hiroshima! Hiroshima!" I thought, is he having some terrible flashbacks to a time well before he was born? Or is this some sort of game? Am I meant to go into his bedroom and shout, "Nagasaki!" back at him? Are we playing some sort of atomic bomb mallet? Incredible, you know. Anytime I do something silly now, I catch myself thinking, God, that would be a terrible example to set to my... Recently, I got in a lift, and there's about too many people in the lift, too crowded, about 12 people. It's, you know, recently, all hot and sweaty, and then another person appeared. You know, there's always just one more person, and everyone was thinking, don't get in the lift. I even thought about pressing that, you know, there's a button which shuts the lift doors, which is purely there so that you can see someone coming and think, I don't think so, thank you. There's no mechanical reason for it to be there. The door's shut anyway, but it's just so that you can... So I almost did censor this man from the lift, but I couldn't quite bring myself to. And so all of us watched him get in the lift laboriously. We all had to sort of squelch together even more. I guarantee all 12 people like me were thinking, don't get in, don't get in, please don't get in. All right, you're in. But it was only me that out loud said, oh, you fucker. you know... Yes, it's nice to be able to swear a little bit. I don't normally get to swear that much. And, of course, there's been a hell of a lot of swear. We've heard a lot about sport in this show. It's been a miserable week for sports fans. I think I'm a big sports fan. In a way, I sometimes feel on a week like this that as a nation, we don't know how to deal with sporting winners. Murray's on the verge of maybe winning Wimbledon. We don't quite know how to deal with it, you know? If you look at... Not too many people like him. And there you are. That proves my point. Even you look at Paula Radcliffe, one of the most successful sports people we've produced in recent years. What do you mostly remember Radcliffe for? Yes, having a shit during that marathon. Right? And that's a terrible indictment of our inability to embrace sporting excellence. I even admire her for that. I thought that was amazing, to have the sheer balls to do that with a watching nation live on TV. The only time I've ever tried to do anything like that during a run, it didn't go anywhere near as well as that. I was nearly banned from the gym in the end. But, yeah... It just goes to show, I was just thinking, as you sort of laughed at that joke, I was just reflecting on the subject of language. Balls is an odd thing. You know, it take balls. I don't understand where that comes from, really. What's the link between testicles and courage? There's no, you must be brave, you must have balls. You must, so there's no female equivalent. You never hear someone say, oh, that took vag, didn't it? What's that? So, hang on, you punched a policeman. Oh, minge of steel, that is. Thanks for listening.
I feel like I'm just supposed to run out and rampantly start fucking people in the eye. 4.5 years now since I've had been in recovery from drugs and alcohol, and thanks very much. Get fucked! Too late! Too late! You see, anywhere else in the world, you say you haven't had a drink or a drug for 4.5 years, you get a gut-wrench sweeping round of applause, of course. Here in Britain, you just get a room full of bitter people going, why? Surely you didn't have to drive every night. What? So I checked into rehab, and they listed my primary as sex addiction. And I was like, what am I, fucking Russell Brand? And Russell Brand, how does he get that much pussy? What is wrong with British women that you would all fuck Russell Brand? What is wrong with you specifically that you would... Don't lie to me. If he was here, you'd climb 10 cocks to suck his. I've seen him cast his spell. He could ejaculate mice and you'd cut your clit off to make a happy hat for it. He looks like the personification of hepatitis. You know, like those adverts for the reading and writing gremlins, and they all go like, you don't know your maths, you don't know how to read. Instead of that, they could have like 2 15-year-old kids on a couch about to finger each other, right? And then in a big puff of smoke, up pops Russell going, did someone mention hepatitis? It's okay, I'm merely lampooning. I'm engaged now. I'm glad that's behind me. Yeah, thanks very much. My wife-to-be is 10 years younger than me, and that has its merits. By all means, but if you are doing a woman 10 years younger than you, don't fuck her in front of the mirror. It's not a good idea. I did that, and I actually found myself thinking, why is my dad doing my missus? Why, brain, why? sex addiction? Is that a real thing? I don't know. What's sex? Maybe. What's sex addiction? Well, maybe. It might be you find yourself in a lesbian threesome. They're taking in turns to lick each other out for your entertainment. Then they're taking in turns to blow you. There's porn on the telly in the background and you're sniffing away on a bottle of poppers like a horse with a nose bag. And you find yourself pondering, I'm actually bored. This might be an issue. What's sex addiction? Maybe sex addiction on a night of particularly low self-esteem. Instead of going out and getting beaten up, you think, tonight I'm going to go out and fuck two of the fattest, ugliest women I can find at once. And, you know, I know a lot of guys might go, hey, man, who cares? There was two of them. Mate, one of them was two of them. It was disgusting. It was like fucking a cake. It was... They threw me around like a rag doll. You know those, like, little ornamental desk pieces that you stick your hand up against that leaves an imprint of your palm? My face was like that in one of their swinging bingo wings. I went down on one of them and she tasted like... Do you know when you were a kid and you used to get those 9-volt square batteries and stick your tongue on both the terminals? I know! Look, I don't want it to come across as bragging, because guys will brag about their sexual exploits and I think job done. Because I imagine any girl that previously thought I might have been cute when I walked out just now looking at me now going, you fucking AIDS nest. And speaking of which, for such a horrible, debilitating disease, AIDS has a bit of a wussy name, doesn't it? AIDS sounds handy. Maybe that's why it spread. So I went and sucked off a llama, got myself some AIDS. Oh, you lucky. I've got to go suck a llama off, get me some. Maybe we'd all be better off if AIDS was called something like, oh, look out! and herpes could be called, now. Hey, you've been a lovely crowd. Thanks a lot. I really appreciate that. My name's Brendan Burns.
Thank you. Fucking wow. Bez. Fucking yeah. Now, I go out to a little place called Afghanistan. Yeah, man. I go out there and I go and do shows for like British troops and shit, right? We're out in the middle of a desert, okay? And I don't even know if you guys from London know what a desert is. I mean, how could you? You live in London. But it's sand. And it's hot. And what grows in hot sand? Evil. Right. That's why we're out there, to kill it. Because nobody likes evil. Have you ever seen evil? No, if you did, you'd want to kill it. And sometimes the evil is called the Taliban. Now, what do the Taliban believe in? They believe in sacred shit. Taliban believe in shit like sandals and beards and keeping their women stupid, okay? And there's a little piece of me that's okay with that. Yeah, like my dad always said, nothing wrong with a bimbo, son. Then my mom would just laugh and chew her gum. We're out there to fight terrorism. Because you gotta fight terrorism, ladies and gentlemen. Because terrorism is winning. Terrorism has changed our way of life. We are scared of shit that we were never scared of before. Shit like, and I'm gonna say it, and don't anybody freak out, unattended luggage. Shit's scary, man. I'm in the TK Maxx in the luggage section. I'm fucking losing it, man. I'm like taking hostages and shit and going, somebody will stand here and watch this luggage before we all die. Unattended luggage, man. What the hell happened to good people of England? 10 years ago, if you saw unattended luggage, you'd do the decent thing and take it. Chicken shit. 10 years, you'd be excited that somebody left their luggage. You wouldn't even care who the hell left their luggage. You'd be like that woman in a burqa and a beard just left her luggage. You'd be like, all right, got some luggage. You wouldn't think there was a fucking bomb in there. You'd be guessing. You'd be like, maybe it's got spices. Shit. Need some guy on a train going, fuck, I left my spice bag behind. Shit, no. All my food's gonna be bland. Fuck. Fuck. Fuck, man. What are we having tonight? Just rice. Yeah, man, now you leave your spice bag behind, it could get destroyed. They'd be like, fuck, is that a bomb? I don't know, it's a good smelling bomb, I'll tell you that. Yeah, man, but we're not stupid people. We know what terrorists look like. I mean, if you've been to the airport, you know exactly what a terrorist looks like. If you've been to the airport through security, because we got a crack security team there, and we know three things about terrorists. Number one, terrorists like to wear big metal belts. Terrorist belts. That's why you gotta take your belt off. Make sure it's just to hold your trousers up belt. You can't tell the difference anymore. Number two, we know terrorists like to wear big shoes. Keep their bombs in. And third, and most important thing we know about terrorists is they like to drink liquid.
Mm-hmm. Yep, terrorists drink liquid.
Mm-hmm. Lots of it, over 100 mils. Because they're thirsty. They're carrying their bombs around. So if you see a guy with a big metal belt, big shoes, drinking lots of liquid, kill him. Ladies and gentlemen, it's been a real pleasure. Thank you for having me here. Thank you.